Here we are. We're still Chevet Beis Nachamishi. I mean, last year was pretty hard. It was hard stuff.
Second thing we know about there's a third thing we know about.
So,
and that is
he's spinning. Somehow we have three parts. We got three parts.
What?
Yedias Hashem, which is Hashem doesn't know things the way we know them.
Prophets that don't want them.
Then we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's acting within the confines of this world, which is Hashem does that through Malachim. And that's something which we could relate to, that's right. You know, there's a lot of physical ramifications of that.
Who made that decision?
And then you have Kadosh Baruch Hu keeping things going. He does not do that through Malachim. So the actual being, the being of the world, Hashem does not do it through Malach. Hashem provides the source of all being personally. But the actual occurrences in the world, you know, the weather, lightning bolt hits someone. So that's through a series of stages. That's through Malach. There's stages. Okay? There's Yediyah. And then there's Hashpa. And Havaya. So that's what we talked about until now. Yediyah, Hashpa, and Havaya. Behnei and behold, Shama Adam Baruch Hu Hitzev HaKol Pakim. Some. Hashem made Malachim, the Malachim of nature. Some Malachim have a nature of Din. Some Malachim have a nature of Chesed.
Rachamim.
Some Malachim have a nature of Rachamim. Rachamim is not the same. Which Malach has a nature of Din?
Like the name of the Malach?
Yes.
Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Mm.
Did you guess that?
Yeah.
Gabriel.
How do we know that?
Well, I know that from Rishonim. There's Rishonim and Chumash that talk about it. Gabriel is the Malach of fire.
Isn't he the one that came down for Sar? One of them?
Gavriel, Michal, and Rav
Sar. Why did he come? Oh, to destroy Sodom.
Destroy Stein. Destroy Stein.
Was Michal?
That's Chesed. That's Klal Yisrael's Malach.
So does he actively pay attention to every single person for Chesed?
Well, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give Chesed, so Hashem sends Michal to do it. He's in charge of Chesed.
So that's for everybody?
And whoever is the recipient of Chesed.
So he flies around the world, or how does it work?
Like Santa.
Malachim do not have challenges of space, time and space. They're all challenges of time and space. Oh. So who created the Malachim? Hashem created the Malachim. Who created their natures? Hashem gave them their natures. And then they do what Hashem created them for. Ramana Mishmata, and they got a job. And then the Malachim don't have time off. Makayim Begvur, Mashinim Sibiyadeh. And all Malachim do their tests. And they are catalyzed, energized by the Midas Gvura. No, the Midas are not so separate. They're not, you know, they work with each other. The first Pasuk in the Torah says, Gracious Bara, Elohim is the Shemayim Vatarit. Elohim is the name of Hashem. And Hashem deals with the world with Din. And Gvura. And Hashem punishes, then the name Elohim is there.
Psychologically, what's going on? So,
when there's fire, you find the name of Elohim. Kol Elohim Chayim, Yotze. So when God spoke to the Israel, or Sinai spoke to us with fire, it says Elohim. Elohim is Din.
It's not physical fire, right?
No, physical fire is not real fire. Physical fire resembles fire. Physical fire consumes, and the real fire consumes. But physical fire has limits to what it can consume. And the real fire has no limits. The real fire consumes anything that comes into it. It's not physical fire.
Maybe it has no limits.
What does that mean, bro?
If it has a root, if fire has a root, then the root is like its branch.
Physical fire comes from real fire.
Physical fire
comes from real fire.
What do you mean real fire?
The essence of fire.
The essence of fire is fire.
The fire is
more special stuff.
Everything has a gift, a body, a physical body, and a neshama. A human being has a gift and a neshama, and fire has a gift and a neshama.
But it's an inanimate object.
It's got a gift. The reason why fire burns is because the neshama that energizes it consumes.
Does fire
have Yetzer Hara? No. It burns everything indiscriminately. Its tava is to burn. It doesn't have a choice. Fire has to burn.
Which causes flames to consume.
The reason why physical fire has that nature of burning is because it comes from a non-physical source. It consumes. The helium consumes. Physical fire burns.
Not to say that Gehenim is its method.
You can learn about Gehenim from physical fire. What does physical fire do? It doesn't just burn. It's a lot more than that. It takes elements and separates them and refines them. If they mine ore, There's once a bunch of miners that they mined some silver and some gold. And they were deciding, I think there was more silver than there was gold, so the amount of silver roughly equaled the value of the gold. And the question was, how are they going to divide it up? Would Joe take the smaller amount of gold, or Ralph would take the larger amount of silver? So Joe tells Ralph, which one do you want? Do you want the gold, do you want the silver? And Ralph said, it doesn't matter, either or. So when they mine these things, right?
That's very cute.
That's my father's joke. They mine these things.
Got it?
No, father's joke.
So then they have these veins of gold and silver in there, and then it's embedded in rock. And they can't just take out the gold. It's too complicated. So they blast it and they take out a whole truckload or a whole I don't know what load of all this. Of all the organic material, and they put it in a furnace, a smelting furnace. And rock, igneous rock, porous rock, semi-porous rock, so that disintegrates at a lower temperature than gold or silver. So they have a furnace which goes for thousands of degrees, and it incinerates all the rock, all the strata, all the impurities, and then you're left with pure gold or pure silver. So fire burns, but what fire really does is it takes complex organisms, complex entities, and then separates them. So you have paper. So paper has carbon atoms, and it has nitrogen and oxygen and carbon dioxide. It's made up of gases and liquids and solids. And when you light it on fire, so it reduces it to its original elements. So they release steam, they release carbon dioxide, and then we're left with ashes or carbon. So it doesn't destroy anything. Well, it doesn't separate them. Now, why does fire have this?
You can't destroy it.
No, you can't destroy matter. Because you can't destroy matter. So what it does is it takes the complexities of an organism, and it separates it back to its original
gassy state.
Well, the gas becomes gas, and the liquid becomes a liquid, and the solid is solid. You're left with some solid. When something's on fire, you're always left with some solid. The reason why fire acts like that is because physical fire does that because physical fire has a malach on top of it, a malach of fire, but that malach also. When I use the word malach, I would rather use the word non-physical force, okay? Rather than malach. A non-physical force, a non-physical entity, a non-physical creation. But that's also, that it has the ability to take things and to separate, or to burn off anything which is not part of the original entity, anything which is a foreign thing. So if a guy goes through life, and in Yiddish we say, Bashmetzes as an Ishama, that he does things, or he thinks things, or he says things that cause harm to his Ishama, and makes the Ishama Shmetzik. You know what Shmetzik is? Right. It makes the Ishama dirty. And it makes the Ishama more animalistic, okay? It makes the Ishama, you know, Hashem made an Ishama, that the Neshama should embrace things that are logical, things that are good for us. And then a person, by virtue of his actions, could bashmutz the Neshama, and the Neshama wants things that animals want. So the Neshama's been contaminated. So you have
a baby wants.
Baby's pure.
A baby wants only physical things, though.
Right.
Right.
You see, you're right, your baby wants everything. Let's separate people into three categories. Babies want everything, because they just want. A baby is one big want. Babies want. They want. I mean, if they know that it's bad for them, they will want it, but they don't know what's good and what's... They just want. You give them anything. What is, anything you give a baby, what do they do with it? Right to the mouth.
Freud says that's their erogenous zone.
What?
That is their erogenous zone.
Right, okay, he denigrated everything to the,
no,
to the sexual drives. But it's and he's not far off, it's just he's a little bit of,
It feels good for them,
that's right.
From infant.
Because babies have a nature to take in everything. Huh? And the way they take it is through the mouth, because the mouth is, they take everything in, everything comes from family. Time is suffering. Where does that come from? Right, that's what I'm saying, but it's not, I'm separating into three categories. The other category is a person that he grows older and he has seichel, so he wants what's good for him. So he's discriminating. Discriminating, you know. This is good, this is not good, so I want what's good for me, I don't want what's not good for me. And then there's another stage that he's an adult, and he chooses what makes him feel good. And it's not the same as a baby. Because an adult chooses between what's good for him and what makes him feel good. And a baby just wants everything. Okay?
Well, that's because it's kind of like an immature person.
Tzaddik, Rasha, baby. Three types of people. Babies don't really have a choice. They just want everything.
So why did Hashem create them like that?
Why are we creating this in that order? Hashem doesn't create tzaddikim and rishayim. The reason why Hashem creates is his babies, because Hashem created the entire world as a work in progress. Stages.
You couldn't create this all at like 20 years old, like Adam and Rishon. It wouldn't be anything. Why do we have to go to the beginning and list the stage? We couldn't just come into the world.
Because of Chavasin, no?
No. Animals are born.
In theory, why is it like
that? Animals are created finished, like finished products.
Really?
You see, they're the horse, so 2 days after it's born, it can already run around the race track.
They learn still, they have their process of learning, but it's
not the same.
It's not the same. Productivity of a human being as he goes to his
not though, it's not like
maybe,
a baby.
Yeah, it's a year to walk.
They think 2 days to learn, but how do they know?
A lot of things are so even as babies, you know, babies have instincts. You can tell, they've done tests where if you put a baby on a clear surface, on a bus, on a surface which is non-see-through, on a flat surface, as he approaches the see-through surface, you won't approach it because you'll think he'll fall. But no, a lot of things are instinctive. Even as babies, you're born with things that you still understand certain concepts. So, I mean, horses, that's all they need to know, basically, where not to go.
Well, horses don't have to grow too much in life. They don't have to develop, so then they're created in the final form. But people have to go through stages and processes. They have to start with nothing, and like a blank slate. and start writing, start writing the book, start writing the sefer. What? What? You're not allowed to whip a horse for no reason, for no purpose. Why? What are you asking? They feel pain. If you have to get somewhere, and you have a need to get somewhere, and the only way to get there is to hit the horse to go faster, you're allowed to hit the horse. But to hit the horse for no purpose is also.
What's
that, sir? To hit a horse for no purpose. To whip a horse for no purpose.
What if you're raising?
That's
really
a shiny, which I'm not. I don't know if you have a right to whip a horse in racing. Because there's no purpose in racing.
There is a purpose.
It's money. A quasi purpose.
There's no purpose in hunting.
Money.
Just to stop hunting.
That's right. I don't know if you're allowed to hunt for that purpose.
No, I think you are, because we learn in Noach that as long as hunting gives you pleasure, then as long as it's pleasure you're getting from it, then therefore you're allowed to do it. That's why you can kill animals. As long as you get some enough from them. If you get no enough whatsoever, then you have absolutely no reason. Or
if you get no enough, you can do it.
Did you get enough from killing an animal?
That's fine for
a
symbol.
Get the medal, whatever.
The place can talk about it by veal.
My dad hates veal.
Veal,
when you kill
they take a cow. They take a cow, a newborn cow, and they put it in a fenced in pen, a box, but it can't move. And then they wait for it to grow old enough to slaughter. And they leave it there and they feed it formula milk, because an animal that's like a baby animal that never got to exercise its limbs and a diet like a very, very light diet, and the meat is extremely tender. And they do this, it's very cruel. They lock an animal up, its whole life it can never go out, and they feed it things that it's not used to. And it's very, very cruel, very heartless, and they slaughter it. And then they slaughter the animal. They keep it in the van, how long they keep it, until it grows big enough. They slaughter the animal, and then the people pay a lot of money for veal. So there's a big focus, whether such a thing is considered tzav al-chayim. Because on the one hand, you're causing the animal a lot of pain. On the other hand, you're allowed to cause the animal pain if it's a purpose. If there's a purpose for human beings. But is this a purpose or not? Because you don't have to eat veal. Is that a purpose? Is it a luxury? Something you could eat meat, very high quality meat that you don't do this to. I spoke to a sheikhid, and his rabbanim would say not to do it. So you're saying about hunting for pleasure? It's far from pashit that it's winter because of that. Is that considered a tzarech? Is that considered a tzarech? A horse race, is that a tzarech? Pleasure, is that a tzarech? I can't quote you any specific names of Poskim, but it's far from Pashit that you're allowed to do that. If you have to go faster, because you have to get back in time for some important reason, so that's a reason why you can hit a horse. It could be horse racing. If you win, you could make a living. That would be a tzarek. That might be a tzarek to make a living.
That's a sad way of living. To live based upon an animal's...
That's having emotion getting involved with halacha. Hey, if you're a sheikh, the animal gets pain.
Yeah,
hurts the animal to shechit.
The animal doesn't get any pain with
shechita. There's some pain. It's not painless, it's the least amount of pain. Dying is painful. It's the least amount of pain imaginable. It's pain. But it's for the tzarek of a person. Animals were created for the tzarek of people. So there's midos. There's different midos. There's a midah of gur, there's a midah of chesed. Hashem created the world with gracious Baal Hakim. Gracious Baal Hakim means Hashem created the world with the midah of
gur.
So, you
were first talking about how the fire purifies everything.
Right, so I'm trying to explain going back to where we were before. What does it mean Hashem created the world with Din? With Gvura? What about all the other Midas? In order to answer this, you have to understand what the Midah of Gvura is. If you think we have the Midah of Gvura is not that a metal hammer that smashes through, the gateway. The Midah of Din There's a medrash that talks about grass. Remember we talked about grass?
Yes.
Neither of them had any bad intentions.
There's a medrash that talks about grass. The medrash says, "Ein lecha kolisa ba'ezer," not a single blade of grass. She'ein lein malach omid alav, that there's not a malach standing over it, or makir also, and hitting it, ba'ein lein gadol, and saying, "Grow." Every blade of grass has a malach.
Yes.
Every blade of grass has a malach, and the malach stands over the blade of grass, he hits it, the malach hits the grass, and says, "Grow."
It's continuously hitting it.
It's more than one grass.
It's
more than little. Of course, it's little.
I mean, all that's wasting. It seems like mundane and peripheral, like to make such a so many small.
So let's try to understand this. So
the way
why does everybody in the grid need some malach? Why does it have to be hit?
Because it's too lazy, bro.
Blades of grass are not lazy, they don't have choices. Why do you have to be hit? What does it mean?
What?
Let's say you're a Baal Chesed. Let's get down to it a minute. Let's say you're a Baal Chesed. That means you have a kind, benevolent nature. You like to help people. A guy that's kind and is benevolent, and that's the only media that he has, could spend his entire existence on this earth and never ever do a kindness for anybody else. Because being kind and being benevolent is all a theory. You understand what that means? It's all theory. You like to help people. You have a generous nature. You can spend your whole lifetime liking to help people. And this is real facts to the ground. There are people that in theory they're beautiful, beautiful people. They are worked on. They're perfect, but they never accomplish anything. Why? Because it's all theory. Every single media that we have is all theory.
There's no proof of action.
There's nothing about the media. If you define it, describe it, there's nothing about the media, about the character trait, that says that you have to actually do something. Because you have a nature to give. Natures to give are still natures whether you give or not. He has a nature to be a giving person, and he doesn't give. He still has a nature to give.
He gets that persona from giving. People say he's a giver because they've seen
him. No, but people are born with these things. There are people that are born with a very, very compassionate nature. They don't do anything.
Doesn't it say that in the Gemara,
until
it's a
Yid,
if he has mercy, he's born?
The Jewish people have that inborn. Rachmanim, Bashanim, Gemma Chasadim. It's all three in the same category. It's inborn. But you can have a nature to do something and never do anything, and you still have that nature.
Nobody will know it. You won't even know it yourself.
You'll know it.
How can you know if you don't act on it?
Doesn't matter. If you know yourself, I have a nature that I feel the drive. I feel that I want to share my goodness with others. Feelings, good feelings. The way to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions! There's one meter. A world of God's meters. These are God's meters. And I'm saying that we're saying the same thing about God. God has a meter called chesed. God created the meter called chesed. God created this concept to be giving.
Before, is it possible that he has it within himself?
What? We don't know what he has himself. We just know.
But don't we know that God is all giving? His
own no, we just know what he. We just know what he wants us to see.
God is the most jealous.
God's not jealous. God displays jealousy. He displays jealousy. We don't know what God's meters are. We know what God displays.
So what does it mean God did something with his right hand?
Do you think God has a hand?
Yeah.
You think God has a hand?
No, but it's
okay, so
using language for us.
True. God displays power. And when God displays power, he uses the words right here. God created this midah chesed. Before God created us, was there any concept of chesed? Stop, let me talk for 2 sentences, okay? God created the midah chesed. A midah chesed means that in theory, there's giving. And God could have, if God would have left the word like that, there's a midah chesed. So it could be he would have done chesed, it could be he wouldn't have done chesed. The midah chesed depends on wanting to do chesed. You do chesed because you want to do chesed. You don't do chesed because you're forced to do chesed. If you do chesed because you're forced to do chesed, that's not chesed. You do it because you want to do it. So if God would have created the world, one meter world, chesed. Saying he would have done chesed, he wouldn't have done chesed. But he wants or he doesn't want. Saying there'd be a world and there'd be no world. There'd be a world and there'd be no world. Like the cell phone service in this base magic. I don't know. Like the high water. I don't know. God created it. Chesed, definition. The definition of the midah chesed is that it's kind to give when you want to, when one wants to do it. Chesed is voluntary. Would you feel comfortable if your entire existence was dependent on voluntariness, voluntarianism? Okay. So God created another midah, and I'm really simplifying matters. It's a midah called din. What's a midah din? Midah din is things have to be exactly like they're supposed to be. There's nothing that's up to your freedom of choice. Din. It's got to be this way. It's a little bit less. Take it back to the factory. There's different kinds of people that go to restaurants. And some people go to restaurants and then they order something. It doesn't come out exactly where they want it. Or they eat it. Even though they're paying for it. I know someone I know. They will not go to the restaurant and accept what's served to them. Ever. As soon as it comes, take it back to the kitchen. There's nothing wrong with it. Until you bring them something else. It's embarrassing. Every single time. They go to the restaurant, whatever they serve, they look at it, that is not what I ordered. Too hot. No. Too cold. Too salty. Did you call this beef pork and yam? This is not beef pork and yam. Your mother is beef pork and yam. Go back, take it back to the kitchen. I got a vision. It's a lady, it's not a man.
She's dumb because they probably spit in their food.
Done!
Yes, that's right. Waiting for all the restaurants, like, this
is the
waiting.
Do you understand what din is? Din is. Din is no forgiveness. Exactly what I want. I want you to go out. I want you to build me this exactly the way I want. You come back with it and we'll smash it against the wall. There's din in this world. So din could be a bit preposterous. But why is din din? Because din is you must be the way you're supposed to be. You have to be this. And din does not allow a person to do a half a job. Din does not allow a person to fail. You're not going to fail. I can't do this. You could do it. You were created for it. You could do it. You could be it. And I'm going to help you. That's what din is. And you are going to be exactly the way you're supposed to be. That's why din is also associated with judgment. And din is also associated with punishment. Because din means exactitude. And you are going to be exactly what you have to be. And we're going to judge you to see if you're going to be that way. And if you're not, we're going to smack you up until you do that. That's din.
That's so true. There are a lot of people, and that's the whole concept of those who are good are treated badly, and those who are bad are treated well.
Are you asking the question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked?
I don't know.
A lot of good things happen to bad people.
Let Shem tell him to shut up.
Shem said he's not going to fully understand it.
No, I fully understand why that happened.
Are you telling me you understand more than Shem?
No, I when I see someone who is not exactly the most scrupulous person in his businesses, and I see they're doing very well, I think to myself, you know, I don't want to judge them, but like I know like behind closed doors a lot of sketchy things happen. These guys are doing very well, but ultimately down the road a lot of times they get messed over big time, they end up in jail and stuff, which happens a lot.
Okay, so what was your point? What was your point? Dim is dim.
So a lot of times the Shem will quit, kind of stop in a way, and stop hitting, and in fact start showering gifts just so he uses the ball to climb into it.
That's also dim.
But it's not a dim that's...
That's a scary dim.
It's a bad dim.
Bad.
So dim doesn't always guide you then.
Yeah, well, you can't always detect whether a person's getting dinner or not.
You think a person who's very, very wealthy and he knows he's not exactly the best guy in business, you think he knows that all this money is coming, he's going to think, you know what, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe, you know, this money, this charity I get here and there, maybe that's why I make all this money. Maybe he thinks he's okay.
Maybe.
So it's not, it's a misleading, fallacious...
Yeah, well, you're going to start assessing whether you or someone else is getting dinner or not by the things that happen. It's going to be a long, tortured process. And you might not come to some conclusion that it's dim or not. But the definition of dim doesn't change based on what you experience with the facts on the ground people. The definition of dim is dim. If Hashem would have created the world with dim, that means it's a world where everything has to be exactly the way you wanted it. It wouldn't last very long. Okay. Grace is born with Kim. Means that Kosh Baka created a world which is giving. Hashem created a world that's forgiving. But there's a process. It starts out forgiving. It starts out that Hashem gives time and his compassion and his kindness and his forgiveness. But the world is a process that the ultimate conclusion of the process is that every single thing in this world should be exactly what it's supposed to be.
Then it would be impossible for us to do our job here.
What?
It would be impossible for us to do our job here.
To what?
To do our job here.
That is our job.
That is our job. It's a graduate.
I'm saying it would be impossible for us to do our job then, because the first bad thing that we do wrong would be killed.
Right, that's why you have a mixture of the meter of justice and compassion. You have a mixture. And that's what's shot in the Gemara, that every single thing in creation has a spiritual force, which we're going to call Malach. But every single thing in creation is a spiritual force, which drives it to be exactly what it's supposed to be. And people, it's much more complicated. Because people have a choice to resist that. But blades of grass do not have that choice. Blades of grass do not have bechira. And blades of grass are created within. And there's no compassion for blades of grass. And there's a malach which forces it. It has no choice. So when you say that it's hit or it's forced, that's because it has no choice. It must be a blade of grass. It must grow exactly when it's supposed to grow. It must grow to the height and to the color and the properties and have the proper amount of chlorophyll inside of it and give off the exact amount of oxygen that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants it to, and absorbs carbon dioxide and gives off oxygen exactly as no bechira. And that's what's shot with the Malachim.
That's not fair, because there's an external force that keeps driving it back to its initial.
Everything has external forces.
No, we keep cutting
my grass.
That's our Bechira. That's our Bechira. Okay, that's your... That's our Bechira.
Now this guy did it
again. Yes, I'll tell you a story. My great-uncle, my wife's great-uncle, his name was Reb Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. He's a very big Jew. In fact, his son-in-law built this campus. My cousin. My grandfather's first cousin built this campus.
So thanks
about them. What? Yes, I know. Every time I say that, someone says what you said. Reb Shraga Feivel Mendelovich was the principal of Torah V'das and many other things. He was a very big Jew.
Your mom?
My wife's great uncle. Passed away in 1948. He was a very, very big Jew, and he was sitting with his students on the ground, and when he was sitting on the grass, he was teaching them. And one of them pulled up like a clump of grass. You don't have to tell me you've done it, but you're sitting on the grass, and then you start, pulling out pink grass in the ground, And he said, because I'll say that there's every single blade of grass has a malach on it that stands over it and forces it to grow. So the malach says, grow, and you say no. You're cutting grass for no purpose. So then you are counteracting the effects of the malach. You shouldn't do that. If you're cutting grass for a purpose, so then that's what it's there for. Well, that's it. Hashem created grass to be there for a certain purpose. If you're cutting it for a purpose, that's what it's there for. But if you're pulling things off just for no reason at all, you shouldn't do that. Exactly. You shouldn't do it. You should not do it. So let's get back to what he says in Derech Hashem. There's all kinds of midas. There's giving midas. There's compassionate midas. And every single one of them has malachim. That the malachim are in charge of making sure that things run according to the dictates of those midas. But behind all the midas, driving behind all the midas is the midah of gvura. Because the midah of chesed is worthless without a midah of gvura. Compassionate gvura is force. The midah of gvura does not stand on its own. A world that the entire world would be filled with force would be a world that people don't have freedom of choice.
So does the grass get hit to show that
everything
God's
gets hit?
Everything gets hit because God's constantly creating.
God
that
is
hit
constantly
is the
creating.
God constantly
creating.
It's a constant hit. The hit is just a...
Yeah, the grass doesn't say ouch. It's not that kind of hit.
So it's just the constant of God creation.
Forcing things to be exactly the way it's supposed to be.
So why is it in the form of hit? Why is it like...
In
the way of
what would you do it? How do you force something?
Creating. Constantly creating.
No, because they're trying to convey to us that there's a force, an irresistible force.
Someone's causing the force, because you can't hit something.
Right, there's a malach that's causing the force. Right.
Malach is Hashem.
Right. The malach, Hashem forces the malach, and the malach forces the grass.
So is it just a concept that each blade of grass has a malach, or just like...
It does have a malach.
It's like a lesson. Because why
it has a malach.
Take care of everything.
No, but since each blade of grass has a different purpose.
I understand that. So each person has a different purpose. Why is there one angel for fire?
Each person has a malach, so...
Huh?
There's general... there's malachim that they're in charge of the entire nation. But each and every Jew has his own malach.
Why
there's more than one malach.
This seems like wasted energy. If everyone was malachim would be kind of concentrated and veered away from grass, because grass is just so like...
It's not limited. Like,
it seems it's
energy isn't limited.
I don't want to say it's unimportant because God created...
Yeah, you're okay. First of all, I differ with your entire position here. First of all, I'll answer your question, but the entire position, there's no such thing as wasted energy, okay? Zero. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get tired, he doesn't have limits. So, if he has a reason for doing something, he does it, it is.
Well, what's the reason?
Now let's address your question. Why did Hashem choose to have a malach for each blade of grass, rather than have a malach for all grass, in totality?
At all.
What?
Grass doesn't have its own principles and rules and standards like everything else in the world. That it has to live.
Are you changing your question? Let me answer one question at a time.
You
have to give me
so much to take.
So I won't answer that question. Let's answer your new question.
You have to answer. I already ordered
done. Remember, and that's because of individuality. Nothing in creation was the same. Individuality. And the only way that you could have individuality is if the thing that brings it into being is also individual.
There should be every teeny atom has their own malach.
They do.
Every what has their own malach?
Well, they don't.
Every atom, each electron.
Anything in creation But here's something in it that's different than another thing is going to have its own role.
But at the base level, everything is exactly the same. Everything is broken down to an atom, and no atom is different than another atom. They're all broken down to electrons, and neutrons, and protons. The nucleus,
every electron,
everything. So
they have never found, there has never been any time in creation that anybody has ever found that two things are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And they're not going to find it.
At the molecular level,
exactly
yes.
The same?
So
exactly.
The number maybe different. Not, but if you're going to go to the individual
It doesn't
level,
matter. No, exactly the same. This has not been found.
What are you talking about? There's a difference. It's just, okay, fine. From a... What's it called?
It can't be done. It hasn't been done, it can't be done. There will be some minuscule difference. There will be. On some level.
Maybe the molecular...
No, it doesn't matter. The same way, two hair follicles are not the same, two raindrops are not the same, and the molecules...
But two atoms.
If the molecules are the same, then the hair follicle will be the same.
No, because it's your genetic molecular makeup of it. The way that the gene is made up, the way that the
proton... So that's combinations. The way they combine with each other. So now let me ask you a question. That means in different organisms, they combine differently.
Yes.
So why? Why do they combine differently?
That's what God wanted.
Because there's something different about them.
Because God wanted
it. No, there's something different about them.
Because God chose it to be different.
Okay, but it's different.
But at the base level.
The base level?
Break it down as far as you know, the molecular attraction is
that certain things are attracted to each other and certain things are repel each other. That means if you have different types of combinations and the building blocks for those combinations are going to have different natures.
Granted.
Where does the nature come from?
I agree with you, but we're
talking about deeper.
Where
does the nature come from?
We're going at the point where those things come together and combine.
But where does the nature to combine come? Where does it come from?
What does what come from?
The attraction.
Bonding?
Yes. Everything is bonding.
God created that.
God inserted something in there, right? Because he willed it to have a certain nature. So I'm breaking that down for you and telling you that that's a malach.
It's a pretension, though.
No, that's a malach which is giving a certain nature to a subatomic particle that's going to cause it to bond with other particles in order to form grass instead of mustaches. See? There you go. So that answers your question.
Everything on Earth is made up of neutrons, electrons.
No,
as
those
theory,
things.
Assuming that the theory.
Those things are made up of even smaller particles.
And yeah, but we can't.
Those
even
we
so
have the.
Fine, so you go to the smallest entity, smallest thing.
You'll never get there. You'll keep going.
Fine, maybe I won't. But the fact is, it's still
no,
there.
No, but
you right?
keep going.
It's still there.
And there are small particles.
There has
too.
To be some stuff. There's something.
Not in physical terms. Everything physical has.
There was a stuff.
Everything physical has components.
Something
at
half. You can't destroy anything.
Vinay, some Adam Baruch who
too much to think in one day.
No, you won't.
Dude, you die every
4 minutes.
The minute you get to one, you're going to get to spirituality. That's a fact. Physicality is never one.
Separate question.
Physicality is always particles.
Why?
The minute you get to one, you get into spirituality. Nothing physical could be one.
Why does God need to create an angel for each one?
Well, your concept of an angel is, you know, like...
I think of it as fairies.
I know that's your problem. I know that's your problem. So hopefully you'll eject some of this baggage here. And an angel is a spiritual force that is created by God to create physical things. Okay? That's what an angel is. It's a spiritual force that is entasked by God to create physical things.
So why did...
That's it. Now that answers your question.
Oh, fine.
Okay. That answers your question. An angel
is
not a
fire. Fire does what? Creates what physical concept?
That means the grand angel of fire. You're talking about Gabriel?
Gabriel, or healing, or whatever.
Right. That he creates fire. Hashem gave him the task of creating fire. And fire is going to have... The attributes of Din.
So the actual core of Hashem doesn't create anything.
Hashem creates the creators.
Essentially, Hashem isn't actually creating anything.
No, that's not true because he keeps creating the creators.
So really,
it's an ongoing process.
You can see why people create the idols.
They make the mistake. They make mistakes because they mistakenly assume that once Hashem created creators, the creators are independent. But the creators are constantly being recreated. And that's the mistake where our desire comes from. You don't worship something which is constantly being recreated. Because you're worshipping something which has no ensured existence.
That's a person is a constant being created.
So now we're confused. So now we can start your education. And Mitchum, the next year, we'll clear a slate. We'll go. Confused is a good place to be. The big mistake of the Undevered Zara, they were very deep people. They were a lot deeper than we are. In fact, I would say that we are not in danger of being Undevered Zara. Because we're not smart. We're not deep enough. That's true. But I'm saying we're not deep enough. We're not deep enough. They understood this whole process a lot better than I'm capable of giving over right now or comprehending in our lifetime. And just at the one point, they saw the power of the powers that create so powerful, so strong, that they worship them. They saw, they understood, they experienced the power of the spiritual forces that Hashem created.
Like what? Like the sun?
What? Well, the power behind the sun.
And they worship that.
The power behind the sun, not the sun.
They worship the sun. They understood the intricacy of it.
Unbelievable.
They respected it and feared it. And
yes. Yes.
But we didn't realize that there was a power behind the sun.
I guess it's not a judgment call for us to make. If you've never seen the power behind the sun,
they saw it.
They saw it. So how could you judge them? You can't judge them. That's being judgmental. You can never be judgmental. But yeah, if you would see the power behind the sun, the Gemara talks about an encounter between the Gemara and Sanhedrin.
Everything's Sanhedrin,
right? Yeah.
Rabbi Steinert does not agree with this. He says not everything's Sanhedrin. But you said last year that everything's
Sanhedrin.
You want me to get
it? It should be. Testing
the rabbi? What? Testing the rabbi?
Oh, okay. There's no need.
Dude, die one more time.
He does that on purpose.
It's a strategy. Do you go into the booth every time?
What?
Do you go straight into the booth?
I don't have a booth. There is no blue thing on my phone. My phone.
Little like hole. You go.
There is no blue thing on my phone. And there's no moving thing either. I saw that on Brett's phone. I was like, what the heck? I don't have that.
Moving thing?
That's all I got.
You ever get like a blue door?
No, no blue door.
So what's a little purple thing?
That purple thing is a messed up thing on my phone. Whoever dropped it, like, got some kind of virus.
That megapixel.
There's no answer. What are you talking about?
You can go through the walls?
Yeah, Sean.
What?
Look, check this out.
Of course you were saying it was a joke.
Oh, burn.
What are you on? Are you on
really?
I don't know what happened. I know
what's on my phone. Yeah, there is. Go to Austin.
Really? Really? You sure?
Yeah.
Sure about that? There you go. You might be right. I'll have another check. No, he's back.
The guy at the school.
He's back in that school.
That challenge is just on that guy. Right. It wasn't, it was so good.
Before
you brought it out? Yeah, the corn was just terrible. That was a bad move.
The Gemara of Sanhedrin, Dr. Kuvbezman Beis. He's Tosh. Turn it off. The Mishnah of Sanhedrin talks about certain individuals, infamous individuals that don't have a chiluk and they don't have a habit. First of all, Menashe, right? They don't have a chiluk and a habit. So the Gemara talks about.
And you know what his punishment is? He's sitting in a vial of feces.
Burning constantly.
In his own vial.
Ravashi said, like he was in the basement, just with his tamidim. And he said tomorrow, Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi says tomorrow we're going to give a shiur. We're going to give a shiur about our colleagues, our friends. You know, he referred to Menashe and the other kings who wished the Avodah Zarah.
Did
Lamacha, right? Yes, Lamacha tomorrow. Niftach b'chavrin. We're going to open up a shiur. We're going to open up a dissertation. Open up the topic for our fellow colleagues, our friends. We're going to talk about our buddies, those kings in Asher. Okay. He went to sleep. Menashe came to Rav Ashi in a dream. 1,000 years later, well, he came to him in a dream. I'm in a year. Chavrich. We're your friends. We're your father's friends. We're not your friends. And he says, you don't know anything. You think you know how to learn? You think you know anything? He says, when you make a mitzvah, where do you cut from in the bread? You know, you're supposed to pick a certain part of the bread, the loaf of bread, where you cut. He said, where's the exact spot you're supposed to cut from in the bread? So Rav says, I don't know. He caught him with something. So I don't know. He says, you don't know where to cut the loaf of bread, and you call me your friend? You call me your colleague? Go on, learn some Gemara first. You call me your colleague? What kind of chutzpah is that? So Rav Ashi, in the dream, he asked Menashe, he says, okay, so where do you cut the bread from? He said, if you tell me, I'll give a shiur about it tomorrow, and I'm going to quote you in shiur. He came to me in the dream. That was a chutzpah Gemara. So he says, the place where the baking affected it the most, you know. You know, the bread gets baked at different...
The baking affected it the most, or where it started?
The most, the most. It's a very deep Gemara, and the truth is, if we'd want to hear the Pshat in this Gemara, we could, but not today. Tomorrow not. So Rav Ashi said to Rav Ashi, so if you're so smart, then you know even this. So how could you bow down to Avodah Zarah? This is a question which you might have been... I'm really obvious, awesome. So Menashe said to Rav Ashi, if you would have been there in our times, Nakita Meshu Pula Glimi, you would have picked up your cloak, because the cloak dragged on the ground and it made people had to walk slow, you know, in those days. But you would have picked up your cloak, and you would have picked it up so you could run faster after Avodah Zarah. So the next day, when he gave a shiur about Menashe, so he said, let's give a shiur about our masters.
About what?
Our masters. He changed the topic of the shiur. He crossed out the word friends and colleagues from the piece of paper that advertised the shiur. So let's talk about our masters. So Menashe was telling Rav Ashi, you don't understand how we could do it because you weren't there. If you would have been there, if you would have known what we knew... If you would have known all the Torah that we knew, if you would have been as great as we knew, you would have seen things that we saw, you also would have done it. You don't worship Avodah Zarah because you don't see it.
So it's really a blessing.
Man. It's a blessing, yeah. And then he was quoting the Mon Yuma, if I'm involved, that they daven to take away this Yetzer Avodah Zarah. Midas Adin is that all the wonderful things that Kadosh Baruch Hu made in creation would never reach us, because maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. Hashem created a midah. He created a force. He created a malach, a spiritual force, that the job of that spiritual force is to make sure that all the other spiritual forces do exactly what they're supposed to do. So the midas hadin doesn't just beat the grass. The midas hadin beats the midas hachesed. You are the midas chesed. You must do chesed. You must make sure the chesed is going to be in the world. You are the mid of rachamim. You must do rachamim. You must make sure that, you know. So basically, the midas adin that Hashem created, is its job is to bring out everything from potential to actual. And that's what he says in these few words. So a few words in the Sefer Derech Hashem. It takes a long time. I'll read it again. And now that I read it again, You'll appreciate the beauty of the words. Vehime, and behold, some HaKadosh Baruch Hu inserted the Teva Kol Pakid in the nature of every one of these spiritual malachim. Lama Mishmato, to stand over its task, the Rekayim b'Gvura, and it fulfills its task because of Gvura, because of the Mida Gvura, Mashanimsa b'Yadai, that which was entrusted in its hands. Okay, so we'll stop over here. We'll continue with Shalom Sunday. Shalom is Shalom.